You're listening to Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is in the middle of a lot of change. Their new home on West Wisconsin Avenue is on track to open in time for next season. Frank Allman, the symphony's longtime concertmaster, recently announced he'll be stepping down after this season. And the entire organization has welcomed its newest music director, Ken David Mazur. Mazur is the son of German conductor Kurt Mazur, the longtime conductor of the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra. The younger Mazur began piano studies at 6, sang in the Gewandhaus Children's Choir from the age of 9, and graduated from Columbia University. He made his conducting debut in 2004 at the National Orchestra of France, and he's since conducted the San Diego, Munich, and Boston Symphony Orchestras, among others. Ken David Mazur joins me in the studio now and says it's wonderful to be in Milwaukee.
It's an extraordinarily exciting time for the orchestra, for the city, for the community, and meeting the musicians, of course. The music making was what I came for in the beginning. Told some people that at the time that I came, it wasn't clear to me that the orchestra was still looking for a new music director. So for me, it was, you know, like going to a guest week, focusing on some good music making. The program was very varied. I got to perform with the chorus and the orchestra and soloists from within the orchestra. We have, of course, extraordinary soloists in the orchestra itself. And so I was thrown into this beautiful, wide-ranging program from French to American to British music. And it was clear to me this orchestra can do anything. And it was so rewarding artistically. And then it was to my surprise that they said, well, would you even consider, would you be interested in, you know, coming to Milwaukee? I said, well, don't you already have someone? You know? So it was just a wonderful, very natural way of an encounter, of getting to know one another without pressure that you might have, you know, when you look for somebody new. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And then getting to know beyond the podium and beyond the stage, the great music making, which is what we live for, of course, to meet the people behind the scenes and to meet the people of the city and the management and the board and all of those who are involved in also the new building. And it was clear to me there's a true passion for what people are doing, a real commitment, not just to this project or this organization, but to what it can do and what it will do for the city. An understanding of where the city has been, where it's coming from, and where it can go. You know, the vision was big and it still is big. And so for me to be invited into this moment is thrilling, absolutely. And it allows me to be able to think freely and also artistically in ways that you don't always find in other situations. So this is truly a beautiful moment for us as an organization, for the orchestra, and also for my partnerships with the management and with my artistic partners at the symphony. It's been a wonderful beginning. We've already had some really, for myself, memorable experiences that we got to share with this great audience. And the audience seems to have really responded beautifully. And we feel just warmly welcome to the city. And we cannot ask for more.
Well, yes, you have a wonderful building. And that's something that the symphony has needed for a long time. I've been here just over 13 years. And having a home for the symphony was something that I think people always knew needed to happen, a permanent place. Mm-hmm. And now that it actually is, I think you're right. I think it does give you and the whole organization a freedom to kind of take a deep breath and just relax a little bit, mm-hmm. and then be able to open up and even do more,
yeah.
than what you've been able to do in the past.
And this is a special time also, and to be in the midst and during this period where you have so many ideas coming out. And of course, people, as they're being shared, the building and the vision and the plans and so on, you know, already all the creative juices are flowing, and you know, and we're inviting, of course, these ideas and then looking as to what we can do with them. And of course, I will bring my own, and then, you know, my partners here, together with Brett Dorhout, the artistic administrator, and Mark Niehaus, the executive director, of course, of the symphony. There are so many great things to look forward to, and what artists will come and so forth. I mean, this will be not just a national, but I think an international draw, because this hall will truly be great acoustically, visually, historically. The atmosphere will be very unique, because you have this combination of this old world, you know, feel, you know, with this extraordinarily beautifully preserved Art Deco core, if you will, of the hall, and then, you know, newly built parts to the building as well, with the lobby and areas where we can have other ways to engage the audience with exhibits, with panels, with talks and activities. And we didn't have that before. And also the fact that the symphony will own the building and find ways to engage other partners that way, I think, will be very unique. And there is this time now where we want to take a look from a bigger perspective, from a bird's eye view, and see what is this for the greater community that it's going to do, because we want everybody to feel that it's accessible, that it addresses them, that they can identify with it, and that while we look for all of these talents and artists to come from all over the world, they will want to come here. They will want to see. They're all curious already. And while that's happening, that we want everybody in Milwaukee, of course, to feel that this is their home and this is something that they can be proud of. And it's their identity right there as well.
It's their symphony.
Yeah.
Talking about the symphony musically, you mentioned earlier that you felt that the symphony was flexible enough musically to basically play anything. Is that rare in symphonies? Do symphonies kind of get locked into a particular, you know, genre or mode or way of doing things that the way the Milwaukee Symphony has presented itself to you is somehow unique or different?
Well, it's changed in the last few years in terms of what musicians are not just expected to do, but what they're able to do, what they're interested to do, because the initiatives also for musicians to go beyond the orchestra out into the neighborhoods have risen because of the interest and because of the need and because musicians have looked for new ways to engage with audiences. And we want to represent an opportunity for all of the musicians, because we have musicians in the orchestra that have that natural inclination, this interest of connecting beyond just the symphony stage with people. And they're already doing it, you know, with chamber music or in their neighborhoods with engagements with not just kids, but a wide range of audiences. And we want to enable, encourage that, because all of these things and all of this music that we have, the richness of chamber music, which of course you actually feature here in your studios, is the basis, it's the nucleus for what we do on stage and, you know, the big concerts. And that is exciting for us to see with these kinds of programs that will draw people in. It is the intimate experience often that will hook someone, you know, when you're in somebody's home or when you're playing somewhere where people didn't expect to hear music. When we hear music, I mean, at least for me, this is true, street musicians, they're not around here in Milwaukee yet that much. I haven't heard any. But if you go to some European cities, it's not true. Okay, I heard the American cities where I heard some, either a random fiddler here or a bagpiper there. But in European cities, you have street musicians, you know, violinists who are either students or they play arrangements of the Four Seasons or of Sibelius Violin Concerto or Tchaikovsky. And we cannot help but stop when it's actually being played well, you know. So there's all the noise of the city and of the street, and then we stop because we're just, it's like, wow, you know, the noise is gone. And we're drawn in. And there is that immediacy that I believe is true for everyone, and that's universal. So we want to build on this universality that I believe is this holds true to people in Milwaukee as it does for people in my hometown of Leipzig in Germany.
I love that experience of turning a corner and suddenly there's Bach.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't expecting it. You weren't thinking about it. And there it is. And it sort of embraces you.
Yeah.
And takes you in.
You're moved. I mean, we build on these universal truths when we think of big productions, of course, in the New Hall, or big productions to close out the season, you know, with the chorus. And it's all the same, really.
What are you most looking forward to working on with the orchestra? Is there a particular composer or a particular piece that you think, I haven't heard them do this yet, and I want to work on that with them?
Mm. I'm, of course, imbued with sort of this, you know, heritage of the German tradition, like several, of course, of music directors that have come through with the Milwaukee Symphony already. But there is something that I feel strongly, you know, about continuing that line, and everything from, you know, Bach to Schumann, Mendelssohn, Brahms, and then, you know, introducing the new generation of German composers with the first program we did with Detlef Glarnert, is important to me to continue that line. And then also, you know, I always look for surprises and to make music, not just in that direction, but making sure we get our vitamins, if you will, in that regard, but that the vocabulary of the old masters is expanded every time we do something new. That is the idea behind having, you know, new music or contemporary music or living composers on almost every program. If we look at, you know, most of the programs that I'm conducting this season will have something of the sort. And to me, that is very important that we pair it, you know, together. But coming from this German tradition, you know, and again, these experiences that I had as a child, you know, we can't shake those. And because those were very happy associations, those are the things we find the most natural to want to share with someone that you care about. And I care about this city, and I care about, of course, this audience, and knowing that they will love this music, but also to let them know when we introduce things that they might not know, that we do it like, let's say, some home cooking. When, you know, your mother cooks you a nice meal, you always expect it's always going to be your favorite dish, you know, but then she brings home maybe, you know, a different kind of salad dressing or, you know, a different dessert. And it's supposed to surprise you. You might not like it, but it completely changes your palate and how you can look at other things. You know, you completely open up the spectrum of your perception. So that to me is, and very often I use these analogies.
But it works absolutely, yeah. Because you might not like that dessert that one time, but maybe the next time,
yeah,
you like it a little better, and maybe you look for it the next time. You think, you know, I had that taste once, and I want to revisit that.
Yeah.
And I think learning about, you know, contemporary classical music, at least in popular culture, has had a very negative, you know, it's like, oh, it's all thorny and it's all difficult and it doesn't invite me in, and that's not true.
Yeah.
But you need to be told that, you know, you need to know that that's not true.
And the thing is it's the other thing, you know, the reason why I brought in the mother cooking is because, you know, she will do it out of love. When we program, we're not doing it out of spite, you know, we're not trying to dare you or challenge you. I mean, it is about us being open to new horizons always. I mean, this is the history. All of these pieces we're performing, doesn't matter if it's Bach or if it's Tchaikovsky or if it's, you know, they were all new ones. And, you know, there are people who didn't like them, believe it or not. So when we bring in these, you know, this is going to be enriching for us because we are allowed to be there at the beginning, you know, at the birth of some of these things. And that is an extraordinary thing. Maybe, you know, they will survive hundreds of years after this world premiere that we might present here in Milwaukee. Maybe not. But the point is that we're on this journey together and that we, I think, as human beings, our urges and our desires always to find something that will spark something new, that will keep us engaged, that will keep us curious. And whenever we are slightly challenged, it might be uncomfortable. At the same time, we are actually sometimes fortunate, I think, to experience that because we know that we will come out on the other side a different person, a new person, a person with maybe a new opportunity to discover something about ourselves. That's what the programming is about. That's also what the new partnership ideas are about. You know, when we talk about programming that brings in visual partners or actors, you know, for programs at some point to do anything from Midsummer Night's Dream to Peer Gynt and, you know, those kinds of stories. Yes, of course, we will have the staples of, you know, Beethoven's Ninth and, you know, Brahms' German Requiem and other things. But the idea is we want to experience stories together. And every program is like a menu, but also has a narrative to it and something that we feel is not just us from the stage dictating or lecturing the audience, but the audience needing to know we value wherever they come from. They don't have to come prepared. They don't have to bring a set of facts that they know or statistics, as, you know, a lot of people like in sports, or, you know, they like to know all the statistics and things. But to just come as you are and let it happen to you, which sometimes I find difficult. You know, I think that we all like to have a certain level of control as human beings. You know, it doesn't matter if it's about, you know, driving in your car, how fast you're going, or, you know, or going shopping. When you're in a museum and you see things that you like and don't like, you can decide how long you're going to spend in front of an artwork. With music, it's slightly different. To see the whole picture, you have to sit from beginning to end. But a certain level of surrender, if you will, is what I always ask myself to have if I want to really experience the music and if I want to really experience the moment. You know, my father used to say very often and remind me, the 2 hours that we get people into the concert hall, at least for 2 hours, we have world peace for those people there. And I bring this up, and it's not just a small idea for me, but, you know, having grown up in Leipzig, which was, of course, in East Germany at the time, and being a member of the Gewandhaus Children's Choir and seeing people gather for Monday demonstrations in 88 and 89 that would finally lead to the reunification, which happened in, basically, it started in Leipzig, the whole movement of people having peace prayers around the city with candles, and then it grew to basically 60% of the population being on the street in October of 89, and we're actually coming up to the 30th anniversary of that. That's big, not just for Germany, but I think for me personally, it has informed how I look and value music, music making, and also venues, because the Gewandhaus at the time became the first venue where freedom of speech in East Germany was exercised. It was opened like an embassy where people, because people of the city, they knew they couldn't go anywhere and speak their mind. They would be followed and, you know,
arrested.
And the churches were trying to be a, you know, safe place and a safe haven. And there was one particular church and pastor that was Pastor Führer, who was very instrumental in that, in this whole movement, into, you know, which would then turn into this movement of the peaceful demonstration for all. But then the Gewandhaus was one of the most important places where it was opened up for these talks. And my father would, you know, be there with a panel of other leaders that he would trust. And he would say, we all vouch with our lives that you will not be arrested for the opinions that you're offering at this discussion. Unheard of, you know. And this was in the venue that stands for art and music making. And the reason is that people started to trust the leaders in the arts more than the politicians, you know, more than any other civic leaders. And so I want, you know, to never lose this understanding that we are privileged that through our music making, we are given a level of trust by the audience that we have something important to say, that we will use that, and that we will use that to be responsible, not just with our instruments and not just in the moments that we're on stage, but with the venue that we're now building. You know, that venue is supposed to be a safe haven for at least thoughts and for the imagination, and a place where it's open for discourse and dialogue, and where people can come in and feel replenished and recharged when they leave.
Ken David Mazur, it is such a pleasure to have you here in Milwaukee. Thank you so much, and I look forward to many, many, many opportunities to have that replenishment and that ability to have that peace in that moment.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to many, many conversations with you also.
Ken David Mazur is the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra's newest music director. His next performance with the symphony will be in November with a concert of Beethoven and Schubert.